As we begin this service today, I want to challenge each of us this morning to begin thinking about the last 12 months that we've had. The good, the bad, the stressful, things that didn't go as planned, the spaces and the people who grabbed our attention, the goals and dreams that you made, whether you achieved them or not, those doors that possibly have closed, the important things that you maybe lost, the people, memories, jobs, relationships that maybe are now gone. Today, as we begin this journey thinking about the last 12 months that we've shared, we focus on five very special words. And the first one that we have for you today can be a word that is pretty hard to process, hard to stare in the face, but one that can bring a world of peace and clarity when we bring it to light. So this morning, as we invite Abby to come and read scripture for us, we light the candle of regret.
For everything, there is a season and a time for matter under heaven, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Oh, I don't know about you, but when I think about this past year, I think about a lot of things that didn't go the way that I planned for them to. Things happened that I don't understand. Many things made me angry, made me mourn. Even things made me feel pretty alone. And when I look back on this year, I've fallen into this trail that almost looks like a maze. A maze of questioning every move that I make, wondering if God has seen or heard any of my cries, constantly thinking about if I should have done something better, or maybe something that looked like someone else who looked like they had it all together. I'm sure I'm not alone in these feelings, right? But it's in these moments, these real moments, where life looks bleak or dark, are confusing, these real moments that make me think about regret, I'm always reminded of how big our God is. In the scripture that Abby read for us this morning, it talks about how there are so many different seasons of life. A time for us to seek something new. A time for us to lose our way. A time for us to keep silent. And a time for us to raise our voice. And it also reminds us that there are times where we are called to keep things in our lives, to work on those tough things that haven't worked out yet, to stay strong and courageous and to know that God is working on it. But in that same fashion, there are also seasons where we're called to let things go, to know that God is big enough to take care of what we can't, and to be strong in our faith, to know that regret is something that we can choose to leave in 2019, and to believe that God is going to make things right. So as we join together in our song of praise, I want to invite you to think about what it is in your life that could have regret written all over it, and to consider whether this is a season of your life where you are called to keep or to throw away.
Next, we light the candle of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a word that as believers we use often, thinking about how God forgives us, right, when we mess up. Thinking about God's call to us to forgive others when they mess up. It's a pretty emotional word because it comes with a lot of baggage. It can come with a lot of expectation. It can come with a timetable, like, you're not over it yet. What's wrong with you? So listen. Listen to these words from Paul that help us to know how to handle this whole part of our lives that is there every day. And these words give us great wisdom. Jeannie.
A reading from Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful.
So as you look, can you put that back up? Sorry. At those words, there's a lot there. Compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But look at that first verse, verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Is that your first thought when you wake up in the morning? I am holy. I am so holy. I'm beloved by God. I doubt it, right? Usually our first thought in the morning is what I didn't get done yesterday. Or what's for breakfast? Who am I going to see today? Do I like these people? Do I need to forgive them? Maybe. I think so much of forgiveness is tied into how we see ourselves. Do we believe that we're holy, that we're created with the capacity to even forgive somebody? Or do we listen to a world that tells us, you should be angry, you were wronged, you should be so mad. Get back at that person. How can you make their life miserable like they've made your life miserable? It's just the way that we're raised. It's not our parents' fault or our grandparents or our kindergarten teacher. Just happens, right? Because we're human and we forget how holy we are. I don't know if you remember, as you think back to the news in 2019, you may have followed closely the story of a woman by the name of Amber Geiger. She was the police officer in Dallas. And she killed an innocent black man. She's a white woman. And so all of that exists in our country and our world, sadly, the world was so angry with her. And she knew it. And when she was found guilty and her day of sentencing came and the family were invited to give victim statements, a young man sat there by the name of Brant Jean, who was Bottom's brother. And I don't know if you remember the clip, but he said to her, I know that there's many people that want you to rot in hell, but I want you to know that I forgive you because Christ forgives you. And I want you to put on Christ. you haven't already. And he asked the judge if he could give her a hug. And you could hear the sobs in that room as they embraced for a long time. I'm not saying it's easy, friends, to forgive. There's a new song on the radio, contemporary song, and it speaks to this whole importance of putting on the holy on our skin. So as you listen just for a minute or two of this song, I invite you to think about a relationship, a bitterness that you're feeling. Might have been something that happened years ago. To think about yourselves as holy and that we're called to forgive, even when it's hard.
Our next thought for the morning is the word promise. In the English dictionary, the word promise is defined as a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Let us hear encouragement from Isaiah as we continue to walk together.
But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
As we prepare ourselves for this next year to come, we have a privilege to go into it, knowing that we have a God who cares enough about us to encourage us, knowing that we're gonna struggle, right? Let me read that for you again. We have a privilege to go into this next year knowing a God who cares about us enough to encourage us, knowing that we're going to struggle. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Knowing that even when we fall short, when we don't know the answers, or when we can't figure out how to move forward, what looks best for each of us as we're so different, he always promises us that he is for us, that he chooses us, that he sees us, and that we are loved by him. And though the rivers, they will not overwhelm you, for when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. We have a privilege, knowing that there is something far greater than an argument with our spouse, right? Messing up in front of our boss, not being able to be there for everyone all the time. Maybe hosting when our garbage is super full and we want to impress these people. That stresses me out. Not getting a promotion that we're hoping for, or maybe a space on the team that we so desired. Maybe it's not being able to pay all of our bills on time. Maybe it's being forgotten or left behind by a parent. Maybe it's having to clean up after the messes that our kids have made for themselves. Maybe it's seeing someone that we love so much throw so much away. God's promises aren't anywhere near our precise prediction. Because if you're like me, you have an idea of what you want your future to look like. You have an idea of how every outcome should be. You have a plan for what exactly will work for you, right? But God's promises do always exceed any of our expectations. So this morning, let us rejoice together for a God who chooses us every day, who makes it possible for us to have any of our successes, who made each of us uniquely and has a precise and distinct plan for each of our lives, even when it looks nothing like what we thought. Let us take some time this morning and give thanks for a God and all that his promises that he has for us today.
So when you think about 2020 and all of the different happenings, the word hope comes to mind. It's a strong word in our vocabulary. What does it mean for us to be people of hope, to be hopeful, to actually have that word in our vocabulary? Think about all that you're going to hear on TV and the radio, even perhaps your friends or family. What resolutions are you going to make? All the weight loss commercials are going to come at us. Planet Fitness, all the gyms, come and join us. We hope you'll be healthier. Not to say in any way that our physical health isn't important, but I want us to think about, what are we hoping for in our hearts, our souls, that we haven't witnessed yet in our lives? Listen to these words from Romans for us, from John.
For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
So a couple words especially that I want you to focus on. Patience. How does patience go with hope? How does patience go with hope? Raise your hand if you think you're a really patient person. Good job, Charlie. And Dottie. That's how she blesses us with her patient spirit. We're not really a society that knows a lot about patience, because every message we hear is, hurry up, get it done. How accomplished have you been today? It's difficult when you are driven, when you want to make other people happy, when you want to be a success. That's what you're hoping for. It's hard to be patient. And this last verse, think about God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, just like you may not see yourself as a patient person, you may not see yourself as a saint. But guess what? You are. You're a child of God. You are a saint. And as Erica's passage from Isaiah reminds us, we're not alone. Because that Spirit, it intercedes with us. Eugene Peterson, Presbyterian pastor who went to heaven in 2018, And he tells a story that I think I have to read pretty much every day. It's a story of the kingfisher, and if you're an elder or a deacon, you've heard me share it before because it's part of our training. But he talks about how he's been in ministry for so long, and a church member calls him, and she just kind of rips him up and down as a pastor, as a person, all the things and ways that he's failed her. And he feels like he's failed her because she's struggling so much. And his wife says, "Remember the kingfisher that they watched when they were on vacation? And how the kingfisher just kept diving and diving and diving and diving and trying and trying and hoping and hoping. You don't ever stop. You don't ever stop trying and hoping. Because you're called by God, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, principal, a parent, a neighbor, whatever it is that we face. And so we listened to a contemporary song, and I wanted to also consider these words of this very old hymn written in the 1700s. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is seeking sand." And verse 2, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." So sometimes we lose hope because the darkness overcomes us, and we wonder, how are we going to find the light? Think about where your hope rests: on Christ, the solid rock. And hold on to that rock as you go into a new year of unknowns, and keep hoping.
And as we think about our final word that we get to consider this morning, it is one that I know is the greatest gift from our Father. And that word is love. So let us hear the word from 1 John together from Sweet Joel.
We love because he first loved us.
Pretty tough, right? I've spent the last few days taking a pretty big, deep breath. I've tried to think about all that this past year has had to offer. Moving into a new house, getting married to my best friend, adding a second puppy to join our little family, completing my first year working full-time, figuring out how to ask for help when I wasn't strong enough to move my washer or dryer into my house alone, having to borrow and hand make almost all of our decorations because the money for our budget for our wedding was getting pretty tight, figuring out how to plaster my wall after that cute little puppy ate numerous holes in my sunroom and then ate that plaster. Trying to figure out how to make a ministry work in a day and age where it just isn't most kids' first priority. And you'll always have that, right? You'll always have these things that enhance your life, but also those things that make it a whole lot trickier. But as I said earlier, there is that one thing that I can always count on. when things are either going really well or when things just suck. It's that God gave me some pretty great people to love and to be loved by. This morning, I am so excited to show you this recap video of just of the few people here that I get to interact with and get to capture little moments of. Now, I'm very busy, if you don't know. So I don't get to capture every little thing, but what I am so excited to share with you is just little glimpses of these huge memories and moments that have all been shaped around this word love. Moments where we get to see Susan laugh for joy, watching kids wrestle in mud. Moments where we get to see kids dancing on stage because they've been invited up by a cool band at camp. Moments where we get to see kids on a beach in San Francisco thinking about what it means to serve the homeless population. You get to see some leaders going one-on-one with the basketball star of Waterloo. I don't know if we'd call her that, but we do here. But we get to watch this video and we get to think about for a moment how just one person, my eyes behind the lens of a camera, how I've been encouraged, supported, and nurtured. And my hope for you this morning is to think about how this one 4 minute and 30 second video inspires me to love people because they love me so well. And you get to think for yourself, who are these people in your lives that encourage you, that support you, that show you a kind of love that makes you want to love the next person? So let us all be blessed together to see some very cool faces, some joy, and to celebrate this beautiful gift that God's given us.